Welcome to Acute Leukemias Update. This is medical oncologist Dr. Neil Love. I met with Dr. Mark Levis, and to begin, I asked him to talk about how molecular testing for patients with AML has affected diagnosis and therapeutic decision-making.
For years, we didn't make any progress with AML. It was always one size fits all. Everybody got the same chemotherapy. But over the last 5 or 10 years, it's dawned on us through current research that, in fact, we're treating 20 different diseases. It's probably going to apply to most cancer. AML might be the earliest of these where we're really using targeted therapies to bring about cures. But now, when somebody comes in with AML, you really have to look at it as what subtype of AML this is. It's not just find out that it's not APL and move on. Now it's really start breaking this thing down because the targeted therapies really are applicable to different subtypes. They're having a big impact on these patients now. So it's all about, yes, you have a diagnosis of AML that comes across literally that day or the next day. No, just stop if you can, and wait for the molecular. You've got to wait for the molecular now. And so that's thrown us all into a whole new tizzy because the molecular doesn't come back that fast. And so you've got to make a judgment as to whether or not you've got to start treatment or I can hold off until I can get that molecular back.
When you talk about molecular markers, you know, broadly in oncology, we talk about prognostic and predictive markers. Can you overview in your mind what are the key essential prognostic and predictive markers?
So I've never been as excited as a clinician by prognostic and predictive markers. The big cooperative groups get all excited about this. Oh, you've got a 60% chance of long-term survival versus 30. Sit in the room with a patient. I don't really understand how that makes a difference to them. They're roughly 50-50 chance of having something terrible happen. So I'm not excited about prognosis. You know, great news, you've got good risk AML. I don't even know what that is. I certainly know what incurable AML is, and there are some subtypes that you need to know are probably incurable right now. But I think nowadays, I'm lumping AML into, is this a TP53 mutated AML or not? That actually, I like to think of that as liquid pancreatic cancer. We just looked at our data at Hopkins. We're not curing any of these patients with TP53. And so we actually want to separate those out and not necessarily hammer them and treat them as a separate category. They're not a large category, but you have to get those out first, that 10%, and then break down the remaining 90%. Is this a FLT3? Is this an IDH mutant case? Is this an NPM1 without any other mutations? And then look at the patient. We've got a lot to choose from now. And so you're mixing and matching things. So for the private practitioner looking at a new diagnosis of AML, you still can't just regard this as one disease anymore. It's just not one size fits all.